The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by... we'll get back to you on that. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com. I'm your host, Jason Duvall. With me, as always, is my best friend and co-host, Dave Draper. Yay! Hi, Dave Draper.
Hi, Jason.
How are you, Dave Draper?
Apparently about a million times better than you.
Eh.
Wow.
I had a day off today before we recorded. Apparently. And, Dave mentioned off mic that he likes me better when I'm working and we record afterwards.
Because apparently when you're free to think, that doesn't go well. Wow.
Yeah.
People think I'm mopey. And
I'm not mopey. I'm a little discouraged today because I spent like 4.5-5 hours altogether. Like our dealer friend Matt from Toy Man brought his Teddy Ruxpin for us to fix at Toy Man. For me to fix.
And yeah, for me to fix.
Not for us to fix. For me to fix.
I mean, I'll do what I can. I've got a hammer.
And, you know, I told him beforehand, you know, I'll give it a shot. I'm like, but if something's wrong with the motherboard, there's nothing I can really do. And he's like, no big deal. He's like, you know, here, you know,
I see how this works. There's something wrong with the motherboard, so what's wrong with it?
Well, I'll get there. I'll tell you.
Okay.
So I spent the better part of, like, Sunday and yesterday in the evenings, like, tinkering with him before I deferred him a little bit so I could get to the innards of the head. I'm trying to get the motors to work first that way. And they kind of worked, and I thought, okay, well, I'll bust the head open. I got to go buy some new thread so I can sew him up, but I'll bust the head open, and I'll mess with the motors, because sometimes if you twist them and turn them and twist them and turn them and twist them and turn them, you'll break up the fluid that hardens in there, and it just goes from a solid back to kind of a liquid form, and the motors will work again. Because I don't have any expertise in rebuilding that stuff, because I didn't go to MIT. So
always excuses with you.
Yeah, I know. But I can do, you know, most of the common stuff. So I did that and worked with it. And today I sat down and I pulled everything apart and pulled the motors out and tried to free the thing, you know, try to free the liquid up in there. And worked on it, put it all back together, plugged it back in, put the batteries in it, and turned it on. And I could get the motors work. But the problem is, I couldn't get him to animate correctly. Like, the tape was playing correctly, and I tried different tapes, too. Like, tapes I knew, because this tape kind of warbled a little bit, but it's something to do with the tape player. But I put some other tapes in that I knew that worked, and it was doing the same thing. You could hear it. It was crystal clear for the most, you know, once you tinkered with it a little bit, it was crystal clear. But the motors wouldn't animate correctly. It wouldn't sync up. Like, it would look like it was going to, and then it would just stall, and then it would move and stall. Turns out that something is wrong with that motherboard, because I took the motors from that Teddy and plugged them into pulled the back off my Teddy, my working Teddy, and plugged those motors into that, and they work perfectly. So something is wrong with the motherboard. It's sending signals to the accentuators that make the motor, that tell the motor how far to move and when to move and how far to move back, you know. It's sending weird signals, so it's not getting the complete signal it's supposed to. And unfortunately, I don't have any extra motherboards for that series of Teddy. Like, all the motherboards I have are for the very first, the metal cassette player Teddy that was the original one before they scrapped that and started making these plastic tape player Teddy Ruxpins because they were cheaper. So I don't have any motherboards for the plastic ones, just for the metal ones. And there's nothing I can do beyond that. Like, I don't have access to that motherboard. So I kind of bummed out, and then I started working on my airship Teddy, just trying to get it to work. And the motors are junk, and I can't get it to work. So I was kind of bummed out before we got here.
Sorry.
Nah, it's alright. It happens. It's what happens when you mess with electronics that are 30 plus years old. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. You know
hammer.
What? I'm okay with that display not working as much as it'd be cool to see it, you know, in working order. It's not gonna happen.
Did you try fire?
I'm not going to burn it. So I'm just going to put it all back together and put it up like it is and have a nice display piece. I mean, what else can you do, really? Don't say fire again. I'll punch you.
Fine.
Huh, that's what I thought. But gang, we're back. Dave and I had a great weekend. Carrie and I went to Davenport, Iowa, which we talked about on this week's Married at the Collection. We were back. Yay! We recorded a podcast.
You recorded that just because I said you wouldn't, didn't you?
No, I got...
absolutely.
No, I got home on Sunday after 20 minutes, and Carrie goes, should we record a podcast? You want to? And I was like, all right, sure. So we... Karen and I went to Davenport, and then Sunday you and I went to the Toy Man Toy Show for a couple hours.
It was a quick recon.
It was a quick recon this time. We weren't selling anything. We didn't have a table, so it was more like in and out. And
God knows we'd been there long enough the last time.
Yeah, that's for sure. A little bit of toy news this week. Hot Toys teased the Marvel Avengers Age of Ultron lineup for their upcoming set. So, of course, you know we're going to get another Thor, another Iron Man, a Hawkeye, Black Widow, another Hulk, another Captain America. But we're also getting Quicksilver, we're also getting Vision, and we're also getting Ultron.
What's Scarlet Witch?
I do not see a Scarlet... I do see a Scarlet Witch. I'm sorry. I missed the Scarlet Witch.
I was about to declare this line flawed.
Yep. Nope. There is a Scarlet Witch coming. So
do not buy them.
They showed off the bases, which... The way they designed them, they
save your $3,300.
Yeah, probably.
God,
it's gonna
almighty.
It's going to be a big lineup for
that's
them.
That's mind-boggling.
But they'll sell. I mean, they'll sell out.
I'm sure they will.
And the display stands they showed off are kind of cool. They've got these really nice like silver plates for the nameplates, and then the Avengers logo with, you know, the different... the logo's taking on the different forms of basically the
sort of adopting the characteristics of the personality of the person.
Yep, and then the bases, the way they're designed, they're almost designed to almost all fit together.
Yeah, it looks like they're designed to interlock. Almost.
Yeah, they do. They kind of. I don't think they actually interlock, but the way they sit together looks really cool. Mm. But those are coming, of course. You know, Avengers Age of Ultron hits May, and these will probably start. We'll probably start seeing pictures for these come Comic Con. Sideshow will probably have the new Hot Toys. For Age of Ultron at that point, they'll probably have most of them on display come Comic-Con in July. So we'll probably start seeing the first few of these in December, late in the year, maybe 2016. But
wow.
Yeah, it's kind of cool that they're starting to head that way.
Well, hey, you know, Hasbro's not to be outdone. They've got their 4-inch Age of Ultron figures in stores already.
Yeah, the
and they're clearanced.
Yeah, the 4-inch Age of Ultron figures are starting to show up, and they're already clearanced out in most locations. They're awful.
They're terrible. Well, it's basically the last. It's a line that they're basically reissued figures of a line that they did last year before that are 5 points of articulation.
Yes.
Avengers figures.
Yep.
So
not great figures.
No, not particularly swell. The Hulk's actually pretty good.
The Hulk looks good, but everyone else
is kind of better. It's better than the one they actually released for the official Avengers line.
Yeah.
That's not hard.
No, it's not.
For one nanosecond, I was like, oh my god, I don't care if they suck. They're actually... Oh, wait, they're just reissued. Yeah, they're so no Ultron.
Boom. Nope. 3A, the company 3A is doing a 1/12 scale Judge Death figure from the 2080 series Judge Dredd. Of course, Judge Death is one of those amazingly designed characters of independent comics, I believe, that is striking. Like, the minute you look at him, you're like, ooh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But they're doing...
Of the four evil judges, he's certainly the most striking.
And the most recognizable, I think, even
if... Well, because I think they... I mean, you know, that's the thing is, with Judge Dredd, man, most of these characters, like, showed up... They... In the early days, especially, they had no... I mean, they were like any old comic, where like they brought in a character and then they just killed him off.
Right.
Got rid of him.
Right.
So it's just the death kept coming back, partly because he was, you know, death.
Right, exactly.
So, whereas the other ones never came... I don't think the other ones ever came back.
Yeah, so. but Judge Death keeps reappearing.
Well, because all he needs is another body to... Did you ever read the Batman Judge Dredd one, where he came over into our universe and Scarecrow had to prepare a body for him, and instead of a little... Pteranodon, it's like a chicken, and...
Uh-uh.
Oh, Judge Death was so ticked off. He's like, this is ridiculous! I look stupid! I'm just gonna kill you now.
Awesome. But looks like it'll be pretty articulated from 3A, as most of 3A stuff is. Looks like it'll be fun. That not sure when that's coming out. They're also gonna do a black and white comic book edition variant.
Meh.
Yeah. I hate when they do those. It'll be an expensive figure, and they're doing a variant.
It's a variant that I can easily skip.
True.
That would be the one that I'd only be able to find.
Yeah.
If they actually, you know, showed up in stores.
Yeah. And then Mezco is doing a Mezco, which is, why is the picture showing up here? Let me get this. Let me reload it. Mezco's doing a 1/12 scale Judge Dredd.
That's weird.
Yeah. Very very interesting. Toy News Eye apparently doesn't want to load right.
Boo.
But hold on.
You broke the internet.
No, the internet is broken.
Why would you break the internet?
What has happened? Such a thing? What has happened to the internet? All right, we'll come back to the 1/12 Judge Dredd because that doesn't seem to be working well. Apparently, it's just Toy News Eye because none of the pictures for them work, which is hysterical to me. Not sure why.
Okay.
Yay! This Toy News brought to you by bad internet, ladies and gentlemen. The only internet money can buy. Oh, there we go.
Okay.
Mezco 1/12 Collective Judge Dredd has a comic-accurate, digitally sculpted likeness, especially silkscreen spandex uniform with a real working zipper to create a realism at this scale not seen before in numerous accessories. Kind of comes with a ton of stuff. A bunch of hands, grenades, daystick, the Lawgiver ammo magazine, the Lawgiver pistol, handcuffs, a boot knife, boots with a holster and a knife sheath, equipment belt with working compartments for the grenades and ammo magazine, his iconic helmet. It looks really cool. It looks like an amazing little figure they put together there with the details all in place. Pretty darn neat.
Yeah. That's me.
Oh, is that you?
That's me.
That's you tweeting, twatting?
Yes. Again,
we just talked about this over the weekend. It seems no matter, every time we sit down to record a podcast, people start calling you.
Pretty much.
It never fails. Whether it's Tuesday or Wednesdays we record,
somebody
calls you. Doesn't
matter. Whatever day it is, it's someone's just got to talk to me.
Yep. This 1/12 scale Judge Dredd should be in stores this year, and you can pre-order it, just about everywhere that sells Mezco toys online, or you can go to MezcoToys.com and find it. Looks like a great figure, though. Looks very cool. Again, not my scale, but very cool looking. NECA continues their 8-bit video game series. This one coming from the top-down game released in 1992 for the Super Nintendo, none other than Predator 2. So we're getting a Nintendo-styled 16-bit version decoed figure of Predator 2 as he appeared in the end title screen for the game.
Okay.
Yeah. So they are continuing.
What, no Danny Glover?
No, he wasn't
Boo.
In that. So NECA's finding ways to continue the.
He was totally in that. It was his movie.
Well, I know, but I don't know if that character was playable in the game. I don't remember.
What?
I don't remember much about the Super Nintendo Predator 2 game.
Who would you play as?
It wasn't that popular, I don't think.
Who would you play as? Gary Busey?
Yeah, I don't know. But it's cool that NECA's continuing these because they're very popular, it seems like.
They're ridiculously popular.
Yeah. People love these versions today.
They are milking them.
Yes, and by all rights, I mean, there's a ton that they can do still that they don't have the license. Like, if they do, if they ever get the license like Halloween, they can do the Michael Myers.
Didn't they do a Michael Myers already from a video game?
I don't remember.
I thought it was a Comic-Con thing.
No, that was Jason Voorhees.
No, but there was a Jason Freddy 2-pack, you're right. But I thought, whatever.
Yeah.
I thought they did a Michael.
Maybe they did, I don't remember.
Maybe I'm confused, I don't know. I don't know what they did game-wise.
Yeah, I don't remember either. Danny be able to tell us.
He would, yes.
But this
he
one,
is everything.
So yeah, maybe. It's true. It looks cool, though. I'm not sure when this is going to be out. I don't think they've said yet.
Will we get a figure of the crazy Rastafarian guy?
No.
Boo! Boo, NECA! Boo! Your toy line is flawed.
Oh, that's not fair. How dare you? And then, of course, Funko is releasing some more info. Coming this February, you'll be able to get the rest of the Pulp Fiction characters that were originally shown.
They were originally shown. Because we've been talking about how they've got big plans for, you know, how hopefully they'll wave the next group of figures that they do will be better than the ones they've done. And so I didn't want to leave the impression, because they've shown these off. These guys,
right.
They might be wave two of Pulp Fiction, but technically they're part of the wave one
right.
stuff that they did.
So but it's of course Butch Coolidge, the Gimp, Marcellus Wallace, and the Wolf. So that'll round out the pretty much the cast of Pulp Fiction. And of course, the Gimp was previously only available at San Diego Comic Con.
Okay, see, yeah, because he was available.
Yeah, he was available. But he is now being released on the card, so you'll be able to wrap that up, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, you can't get a drug dealer, but you can get a Gimp at your Toys R Us.
Well, of course, that's how they roll.
That's how they roll.
You know, that's what happens. Dave and I, though, this weekend, we went to Journey to the Toy Man Toy Show on this past Sunday. It was pretty cool. You didn't post your hall picture.
No.
Usually you do, and you didn't. I was very surprised.
Okay.
I never got to see what all you bought. So that's usually the way that I see what you bought, is your hall pictures.
Well, this time you won't.
Well, fair enough. I'm not sure I understand why.
I just didn't. I got home and I put everything away.
Ah, I gotcha. I gotcha. What all did you buy?
Well, I got a lot of... Toy Man is rapidly almost becoming more my DVD connection than a
true,
toy connection.
True.
There's a guy who sits up there, and he sells DVDs, and before the show officially opens, for the other dealers, he has like a brief period of time where you can buy his sets. And they're select sets. It's not all his stock.
Right.
But there are select sets that he'll sell for, like, stupid cheap.
Right.
Like, almost what he paid for them. And that's basically been how I've been keeping up, building up my modern Doctor Who collection.
Yep.
Because those sets are monstrously expensive.
$65 a piece, almost.
Because I looked at the two I still need, and they're about $50 a piece on Amazon. I'm like, that's madness.
Yep. Thanks, BBC.
So, I mean, and the only problem is that he has so many that I end up blowing a big chunk of money, even though I'm getting huge deals. I end up blowing a big chunk of money loading up on these cheap sets.
At that first stop, yeah.
But, I mean, other than that... Because
you bought Doctor Who Season 8.
I bought the recent one with Capaldi, and I bought the one just before that with Matt Smith.
Right.
So I bought 8 and 7. 7 and 8. And then I bought the last thing they're going to do for Clone Wars.
Oh, yeah.
The Lost Missions.
Yep.
I may still need a season of that. I'm not sure.
Neat.
I know. I keep building up these piles of DVDs that I plan on watching someday.
You just never get around to it.
I never get around to it. I got, for John Kent, I got a Zeroid.
Yep.
I got not the one, I had the red one with a Starhawk, and I needed the blue one. One of the dealers had the blue one, which is the same toy, but blue.
But blue.
And I actually deliberately, one of the reasons that I posted my collection on Facebook like that, so I can go, do I have the red one or the blue one?
Yeah.
And I actually literally checked. I'm like, okay, I got the red one.
Yeah, you got the red one.
Thank God. I picked up from somewhere super cheap, like $1, a Picard figure to put my bridge playset, finally.
Yep.
I've been literally on the prowl since that last, whenever I got that thing.
King County.
That was King County.
It was King County
yeah.
in October.
Like, I've been on the prowl for, like, just a loose Picard figure to put in that chair.
Yeah.
And you know, apparently he's doing yoga. He's got his fingers or his legs crossed in Indian position.
Because the only way you can get him in the chairs. Because the Playmate's stupid.
I don't understand that. That's so crazy.
The old Playmate's weird
articulation.
Yes.
I'm trying to think what else I got. I got another Valkyrie from Robotech.
Right.
Because I thought at the time...
Got it from Dealer Dan.
Got it from Dealer Dan. I got a bunch of stuff from Dealer Dan. Dealer Dan was my second kind of big stop.
Yeah.
I got that because I thought at the time it was going to be in better shape than the one I had. Because the one I had was complete. But I thought it was in rougher shape than it was. It's actually much much better shape than I thought it was at the time.
Really?
So yeah. So I got a backup one just in case.
Well, that's good.
And then he had these really cool, they're cap guns, but they're in scale for like 12-inch GI Joes.
Yeah.
And they're in like these plastic kind of boxes, and they're really old. But they're like these old rifles, and there's like a sniper rifle, there's like a hunting rifle, and then there's like an old pump shotgun, like in Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, winning the West.
Oh, yeah.
But they're cap guns. Like, literally, you pull the thing back and, you know, you
put
a little cap
in
there. And they're the neatest things. And like I said, they're in scale with 12-inch G.I. Joes. So I was like, I want all the... He made me... Like, I only wanted one really bad, and he made me a deal. So I bought them all.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else I got.
Well, you were jealous of the couple of the pieces.
I was genuinely jealous of the Hive Wars figure.
Yep,
you got Hicks from Hive Wars.
I did. I got Corporal
because that's
from
a
Hive
rare
Wars.
Line. Like, you don't find those in the wild very often.
Yep, I opened him.
Okay, I'm not.
No, I know, but I was getting to a point. I opened him. Boy, those figures are awful.
Oh, I'm sure they suck.
Oh, they're bad.
Oh, I'm sure they're terrible.
He comes with this weird little like robot dog thing, and I'm like, what is happening? Like this generic big rifle that I'm like, I wouldn't have known this went to this figure if I hadn't seen it with him. Like, if I hadn't opened the package, I would have never realized that's his gun, because it's such a ridiculous looking just hunk of junk, basically. And the figure's bad.
Yeah, it looked bad on the card, but that's almost not the point.
Yeah,
because that's the beauty of Hive Wars. It's so rare that you're like... Because it was
Hicks, Vasquez, and
no, there wasn't Vasquez. O'Malley? On the you're thinking of the original Aliens figures that were released in they were released in England.
Oh, that's right.
And it wasn't Hicks, it was Hudson.
Hudson.
It was Hudson, Vasquez, and O'Malley. They were released overseas. And then KB got those figures, but that wasn't Hive Wars.
Oh, okay.
Hive Wars was like the last wave of whatever... That just, like, KB's got it as, like, a, you know...
As a KB exclusive
kind of
thing.
As a KB thing, because nobody else wanted it. But it was right. Hicks. There was a weird computer, like, I don't know if he's supposed to be, like, a hologram or a robot.
Yeah, there's this weird, like...
There's, like, two or three Predators, and then there's, like, a couple of aliens.
Yeah. And there's one Predator that you were like, oh, that's really neat!
That was, like, well, that's really like, weird! That's,
yeah, he's got, like, this weird, yeah, like, open mouth.
Jaw, like, goes way down.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I also found, like, one of the first tables I went to was this older lady who was set up there for about a year or so now, but, you know, listening, this was going to be her last show, but I was kind of looking over her table because she usually has some cool stuff. And I found Transformers there before for
that's
stupid
cheap. That's the other one that I was kind of
I found the Desert Camo Brawl from
the first
Transformers movie, and I was like, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, well, I've got a Brawl, but this one's a different color. And I'm like, and it's a leader class. It's not the small one. It's leader class.
Yeah, it's leader class. It makes noise.
Yeah, it makes noise and stuff. And I'm like, oh, cool. And she had a $2 price tag on it. And I went, I'm going to buy that for $2. And it turns out that figure's worth like $50 to $80, depending on who you get it from. I'm like, cool. Like, I got another Brawl that I got to find a home for, but he's neat. And Dave's looking at me like,
I can give him a home.
Yeah, Dave's like, I can give him a home.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you $4. Double your investment. No, but I mean, it's a cool... It's one that I never bought. Literally at the time, I was on the fence about it.
Right.
Because I was like, eh. And I don't think the desert one. I think the regular one I was on the fence about.
Yeah.
Because he was kind of cool. I kind of liked him. But I was kind of, you know, I wasn't that huge a fan of the movie.
Yeah.
So, like, for you to give him for $2. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm a little envious.
I found one of the original Mummies Alive figures that wasn't one of the weird like action ones where you press the back.
That was fine with you.
That's a neat little line.
Sure.
Mutating Bebop, Mutating Rocksteady from the original Turtles line, from the Mutations line. Rocksteady's his rhino head was broken inside, but it still sits on top and you can still kind of pose it.
Oh,
but
no.
That's all right. He was $8.
Okay.
He wasn't that bad. Wasn't a horrible price for him. I found a stuffed red fraggle from the 80s that I had one as a kid. So this gal had one.
Yeah, I remember because I was talking to Matt and like you were behind him going.
Yeah, I was like,
look at me.
Yes. I think I paid like $10 for it. I was like, I'll pay $10 for that because I'd seen one before at one of the other booths against the wall on the other side of. Toy Man, where you've bought Simpsons figures before.
That's where I got the Zeroid from.
Yeah. And they have stuffed animals there, but they're always stupid high price. Like, they've had Fraggles, and they want, like, $40-$50 a pop for them. And I'm like, I'm not paying that much for Fraggle. I'll wait and hold out. And then, of course, sure enough, I found Red for $10. And I'm like, I'll buy her for $10.
Sure enough.
I found another Terminator figure I already had, but he had one of the arms that I'm missing.
Ah.
So I bought it just so I could get the arm. Plus, he's in a little better shape than the one I have. I'm still missing, it's like, I don't remember if he's called Power Arm Terminator or what, but he has three different arms. He has a regular arm that has a data spike that comes out. He has an arm that's like a claw.
Okay. Like,
and then he has an arm that's a missile launcher that had a firing missile. I'm missing the missile for mine, but I got everything else. So one day, maybe Brent Scarano or somebody will... come across that
maybe.
Yeah. And then from Dealer Dan, he had this really cool Disneyland trigger, like this little acrobatic Mickey that's attached to a handle with a trigger, and you press the trigger and he does tricks and flips around, and I kept playing with it. And at the end of the day, when Dave and I were gonna leave, I went back and was playing with it, and I was like, I really want this, and he's like, $15, and I'm like, I don't know if I have $15. I'm like, I have $15. I'm like, that's all I have left. So here you go. And then of course, our dealer buddy Matt, of course, he brought me Teddy, and in payment for even trying to fix it, he gave me basically the entire line of Flash Gordon minus Dale Arden. So, like, all the rest of the figures.
So it wasn't complete.
I have Dale, though. I have Dale Arden. But and the vehicles. So I have the complete line of the Playmates Flash Gordon line from the 90s, which
not a great line.
Not a great line, but it's kind of neat.
It's a Duvall line.
Yeah, the Flash Gordon Rebel air bike. I was thinking, neat. You know, you can put a Flash Gordon on that. No, it comes with a Flash Gordon already on it that is not posable.
That makes sense.
The Trifibian, I guess, whatever it's called.
Yes.
Which is the land sea air vehicle. It's kind of neat because all the figures came with these little skateboards they attached to. It was the 90s. And the vehicle has this little arm on it that you cock it back and you put the skateboard in it and you press the button with the figure and it'll launch the skateboard across the floor.
Oh, wow.
I was like, that's kind of neat. The coolest thing, though, is Ming's Jaws of Death Throne.
Yeah, that sounded like the coolest
thing. That's a neat piece. I got to replace the batteries in it. It takes little watch batteries. But basically, the Ming figure has this big long cape that you take the cape off and there's little slots that lead up to light piping in his eyes. And you attach him to the throne, and he sits on it and sits back. And when he sits back and makes contact, the orbs on the sides light up, the snake's eyes light up, and the Ming's eyes light up too.
Hmm.
So it's kind of neat. Yeah, it's kind of neat looking.
It looked neat.
Yeah, I haven't opened any of those. I just was reading the back of the box. I'm like, ooh, neat. Fair
enough. A couple more that I remember now. I got a Calibac from Superpowers because
yes,
there was a dealer that had a bunch of Superpowers, and they were relatively...
Yeah, they were...
The ones that I was looking at seemed relative... Because Superpowers generally go for a lot of money.
Yes.
And they had the card backs, and they had the comics.
The comics, yeah.
So I got Calibac because I have the Build-A-Calibac from...
from Superpowers.
Not from Superpowers, but...
Well, from the Superpowers
from Mattel. From Classics. From Mattel's, yeah.
Right.
The thing that they did. So I put them together. And then I got the Chimera... from the LGN's D&D.
The last of the Bendy figures.
Either LGN or TSR.
TSR did the Bendy figures.
Yeah, TSR did the Bendy figures, you're right. So I think that's... I'm 90% sure that's the last Bendy I need.
Yeah.
And then I got... I just had it in my head, and then... the diecast, the Kenner diecast Y-Wing. Diecast toy I've never really had.
That's right.
So...
I remember that.
Yeah.
It was cool. Cool finds.
I'm pretty sure that's about... I mean, you know, we went everywhere on our way home.
Yeah, we did. We made...
ironically, one of the first places... Well, first we went to Target.
Yes.
Which I don't remember us getting anything.
Nope, there was nothing at Target. Because Target's right across the street from a toy show.
It was swept pretty clean. But ironically, we went to a Toys R Us. And if you remember last week's show, I had talked about how for Power of the Force 2... I got my dog, who was maybe a year old at that time, and loaded her up in the car and drove down to St. Louis
right.
to get the... That was my first Power of the Force 2 figures. We went to the exact same Toys R Us.
Yes.
And I realized that as we pulled up, I'm like, oh my god, this is the exact same place I just Toys talked about. Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
That was kind of fun. And I got Kane from NECA's Alien line.
Yes. Who's a really neat looking figure.
A very cool figure.
Yeah. Yeah, we made stops everywhere. We stopped
We stopped like it. We stopped at two different Walmarts, stopped at Target, stopped at
Toys R Us,
and stopped at your friend's toy store here in town.
At Moonbase Toys here in Springfield. I noticed he's had some issues, so he hasn't been able to be open, but I noticed on Facebook that it said he was open, so I was like, oh, when we roll back into town, let's go by Moonbase Toys. You've never been there.
It was cool.
I'll go in and look around. I'm like, I was like talking to Robert, so.
Sadly, I wanted to buy something, but sadly, the curse of Dave, where it's like, I have all of this.
Oh, I feel
so bad because I wanted to buy something. But.
Yeah, well, he had a Transformers Generations Combiner Wars bombshell like loose.
Yes,
and you were like,
he pulled a dealer Dan on me. Like that's like, for my personal collection like, that I just happen to have in my store.
Yeah, Dave's like, dang it! Dave really wants a Combiner Wars bombshell that now he can't find.
Well, that's the thing is I kind of want one, and now that I can't find it, it's becoming a thing.
Yes. Yes, that's what happens with Dave. He can't find something, and it becomes a thing.
It becomes a thing, and then it becomes an issue.
Yes. You bought a cool Lego set today that you haven't put together yet, but you bought a yacht.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah.
Dave bought a yacht.
Yeah, no, it's the... I don't know what the girls' toy line is.
Friends?
Friends.
Yep.
But they've got this kind of cool... Yeah, it's kind of like the Dolphin Cruise or something.
Yeah.
And they've had it forever, and that's kind of why I bought it, because I figure it's probably going to go out of production soon.
Probably.
It's been around forever. And I've always kind of wanted it. I can give it to Bruce Wayne or Tony Stark. I mean, you don't have to be... The stupid little Friends figures are going in a box somewhere.
I know.
Trust me. But it's just kind of a cool... It's a little pastel, but it's a cool yacht.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've always really wanted it, and I finally just decided I was almost going to do it at Toys R Us, and then I didn't, and then I went to basically buy everything ever at Meijer. Like, this huge... Because I'm like, I'm somewhat inspired by your example, somewhat. So right. I'm trying...
Well, let's explain. Okay. I don't think Carrie... Well, Carrie and I kind of explained, but I don't think... Some people may not have listened to Married to the Collection, but Carrie and I, at the beginning of the year on January 1st, basically changed our eating habits and our eating lifestyle, and we basically went... there's a thing called the 21-Day Challenge, and it's basically, it's 21 days, and it's portioned out food throughout the day, and you have to eat so much, and, you know, you can only drink water, and it's not a diet, it's just about changing your habits to eat healthier. Now, of course, eventually I'll still be able to eat a pizza or something like that, you know, down the road, but it's just about changing your habits, eating healthier, thinking a little bit more about what you're eating, the portions you're eating and whatnot. I started out, when we started, I weighed 219.
I hate you.
Well, if you think about it, when
dude, I can't remember, the one time that I really got super serious about losing weight and like really, really, really pushed it, I don't even think I cracked 220.
Really?
Yeah. Like I never cracked 220.
Yeah, I was 219, and on Monday I was 211.
Hate you.
And that's just much. From a week of drinking nothing but water and eating healthy. And we didn't even work out last week. We started working out this week, during the day, you know, doing about a 30-minute workout or whatever, just to kind of get things blood pumping and whatnot. Yeah. A lot of that's water weight that I dropped because. You know, a lot of that was like sugar and stuff that was like, you know, your body retains bad stuff really easily. And once that was kind of flooded out, it's like, but yeah, because of that, we had talked about that on the way to Toy Man.
No.
And Dave.
I don't want to sell it like I've made the commitment you have.
Right.
But what I'm trying to do is not eat at McDonald's
every day.
Every meal, basically.
Right, right, right.
Every meal every day.
Right.
So I went and I picked up, you know, food to make at home.
Right.
And then while I was there, it's like, well, I think I told you, I collect toys and bookcases.
Yes.
I always need more bookcases.
Yep.
And now I actually need them for books. Because the ones downstairs are slowly getting taken over by the toys, so I'm trying to like put bookcases together upstairs for
for books.
For the refugee books that keep flooding upstairs. So I needed a bookcase, and I need a new filter for this, and I needed dog food, and I needed this, and I needed that. And I'm like, I'm spending all this money anyway.
Right.
So I got the yacht. I actually got some of the latest blind bag figures.
Oh, the Lego stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, neat.
Because I really, there's a couple there that I really wanted. And I got them all, which I was really happy about. Yeah. And then, of course, like, looking at them, I'm like, oh, I want that one and that one, too. And I didn't get those.
But yeah. Well, you never
that's
do.
That's the story of my life.
Right.
I got the hot dog guy. That was my number one goal, was the hot dog guy. And then I got the girl Cyclops. So
nice.
Now boy Cyclops will be happy.
Yes, he has
that's one thing they do is, like, I've noticed in later waves, they do the girl version of...
Of the boy version.
The boy version that they did in earlier waves.
Right.
Because there's also a girl disco singer this time.
Oh, nice.
I'm like...
Well, you're
maybe,
like,
maybe my boy disco singer would like some company someday.
Would like a girlfriend.
Yes. So that's on the list.
That's on the list.
So anyway, God, I don't even want to say how much money I dropped there. But I bought a lot of stuff. I got food.
Right.
So.
Good for you.
So yeah, but I did get the yacht. And I want to review it.
Yeah. But
apparently, somebody told me that those sets came pre-built.
Who told you that?
Some idiot.
What, me?
Some idiot in a Walt Disney
hat. No, they're not pre-built.
Actually, I believe it was a Thundercats hat
at
the time.
No, they're not pre-built. You have to build
those
sets.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they're not pre-built.
No, in point of fact, they are not.
Yeah, because the Disney sets are basically that, even though they're Disney princesses,
the Disney sets are basically the girls.
They're friend sets.
Friend sets.
Yeah, no, you have to build those sets. Yeah. I don't know why or when I said those.
So does that mean the boy sets are the enemy sets?
Huh?
Does that mean the boy sets are the enemy sets?
Apparently. Yeah.
Boys are mean.
I don't know when or why I said that, but I apologize for saying that if I ever did.
That's always been I've always wanted to buy one of those sets just because you said that, and I'm like, how does that even work?
Yeah, no,
they're
not.
Is it all smashed up when you get there?
No.
So, We'll I'm keen. Like it was too late in the day, but to get it built in time to review it tonight. Cause,
right.
So, but hopefully we'll work review on that tomorrow.
Yeah,
or not tomorrow, but next week.
Yeah, we'll review it. So yeah, fun times here at the Springfields. Before we get to fan questions, though, Dave and I are going again this weekend to St. Louis. But for good reason.
For good reason. Looking forward to it.
Yep. Dave and I are going to go see Book of Mormon.
Very excited.
Yes.
Very excited. I've always wanted to see it.
I have too. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a good, fun show.
So I'm a huge South Park fan. Yeah. So.
Do you know the songs at all?
No, I really don't.
I know the songs. You'll be, I get a feeling you'll be laughing hysterically through most of it. So the songs are spectacular in that show. And lots of cursing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a very dirty show. But it's wonderful. But yeah, Dave and I are heading back to St. Louis this weekend, so we'll...
Hooray.
Woo! We get to make that drive again on Saturday. Yay!
Exciting.
Happy day! But then Sunday, I'm not doing nothing.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. It's a good plan.
Well, yeah, I just found out, I was telling you before we started recording, the St. Louis Science Center, which is a really cool place, a super cool place. I've been down there before when they did a Star Trek exhibit. And apparently now they have a thing where the first Friday every month, they do like a special themed
event kind of thing,
like the science of Star Trek or the science of Star Wars.
Right.
And in February, it's the science of the Avengers. And I found out about this because a friend of mine who lives down in that area told me they're doing Jurassic Park. And I was like, oh my God, I want to go. And they're going to show Jurassic Park on the IMAX.
Yeah.
And there's going to be all the scientific stuff about dinosaurs. And I'm just, you know, hell yeah, I'm in. And then it turned out it was in April. And I'm
just like, everything is in April.
Oh God. And luckily, it's the one weekend, it's that first weekend where nothing's going on.
Right.
But now there is. So it's just like really April.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Can't somebody put something? Like my February's empty.
Yeah.
March is dry as a bone.
Yep.
Everything's in April.
C2E2, JoeCon, Kane County.
Yep.
Now this,
yeah.
Gosh. Horrible.
Kinda. I mean, it's sort of like...
And that
like,
reminds me, JoeCon should... the convention should be showing the sets here soon, shouldn't they? Well, no, I'm just saying.
No, I'm kind of making fun of you because, like, yeah, get on board with everybody else.
Well, no, I'm just thinking. I'm like, it's January, and they've shown the sets by now.
I don't know if they've shown the sets by now, but you live in a world of logic and reason, my poor fool friend. Yeah, they should be showing stuff off by now. I mean, registration. I think last time registration went like right before the show even started. It was like it was ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah, it was bad. They're not noteworthy for having their ship said with a P together.
No, yeah. It's very true.
Let's just put it kindly that way.
There's a
certain chaos involved.
Yes, there is a certain chaos involved. One other thing I want to talk about, which I think is kind of
an
interesting tale. We kind of talked about this when Danny was on for episode 150. We were talking about the Nintendo Amiibo figures and how we were starting to see these video game fans.
Hey, that's a rude gesture.
Yes, it is a rude gesture. We were starting to see how these video game fans were basically discovering what we as toy fans deal with all the time, which is scalpers.
Oh, because no.
Because originally... like
you poor dears.
First, like... people were finding versions of the Amiibo figures that were like Princess Peach missing her legs or Metro or Samus Aran with two gun hands instead of one cannon in a hand. And they were buying and selling them on eBay for ridiculous amounts of money. People were buying them because they thought they were variants when in fact they weren't.
They were just production errors.
Well, now those scalpers and more have started to buy ridiculous amounts of these Nintendo Amiibo figures. Some are buying them all because they don't like them and just sitting on them, which is ridiculous.
Wait, why would you waste? That makes no sense.
Yeah, why would you waste your money on something you don't like so other people can't buy it?
That's
which
weird.
Is happening. And the other one is scalpers are driving video game fans insane because they can't find these figures at retail because scalpers are buying them up, you know, hitting the stores before they can and buying up all these new figures and then putting them on eBay for three times the money. And it's like, welcome welcome, video game fans, to the world of toy collecting, because this is what we've been dealing with for decades.
Sorry, guys, you're a little too used to like having proper release dates where you can walk into a store and or pre-orders. Yep. You guys have been pampered.
There is
spoiled.
There's a change.org petition to stop Amiibo scalpers.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Let me read you a little bit of it. He says, "Hello, my name is Javert, and I want to tell you about an injustice to Nintendo fans everywhere. Amiibo, a promotional campaign from Nintendo to sell figurines of famous Nintendo video game characters to be used with various Wii U games to trigger different gameplay and game gifts and unlockable content. Many people such as myself collect, trade, and share these great figures to friends and family. That is, if there was enough to go around. Scalpers, i.e. someone who purchases large quantities of goods, usually tickets, that's not true, early with the sole intention of reselling..."
Well, that's how it started.
That's how it started. Not just tickets anymore.
Early
with the sole intention of reselling them at a higher price at a later date closer to said event. And yes, scalpers exist for Amiibos. People who buy in bulk hundreds of Amiibos to sell in an online auction for obscene prices up to 10 times the retail of $12.99. Many people who have hopes of obtaining their favorite characters are left with disappointment from official retailers telling them that they're sold out even weeks before they hit the shelves due to pre-orders. These scalpers are now going in and buying up all the pre-orders of these characters so they can just turn around and sell them on eBay when they come out.
So they go in and pre-order everything.
Right. Cause
I'm like, how can you buy up
video game world is
how can
is
you buy up a pre-order?
Everything basically from video games is comes out for pre-order.
Okay. I get you. I was confused. Cause I'm like, if I pre-order something, how can you go in and buy it up?
Yep.
But what you're saying is you go in and pre-order their allotment. I gotcha.
Yep.
I gotcha.
He says, "My proposition and main draw of this petition is to stop scalpers from hindering the transaction of Amiibo by becoming the middleman. And a way we can do that is to limit the amount a single person can buy pre-order Amiibo to, preferably 1 to 3. If see, here's the thing. He does this. It's a great... I'm sorry. I understand the passion and the meaning behind it, but you can't... These scalpers are smart. They're not just going to go in and find out they can only pre-order 3 things and go, okay... and then leave. They're going to go in, they're going to send their wife in, they're going to send their kids in, they're going to send their parents in, they're going to send everyone they can get a hold of to go in and purchase, and then they're going to pre-order these. So when the day comes, they're just going to drop off this huge stack of pre-orders and go, "I want them all." This doesn't stop scalpers from doing what they do. It's not going to. There's no way to
it's
make...
It's not perfect.
No.
I do think it's a little bit of a roadblock for some.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've got people here locally that if you did something like that, it would slow them down some, you know?
Very true.
I mean, you know, because, I mean, like, my thing is, like, if I were one of these guys, I mean, who would I? You wouldn't do it for me.
Yeah.
So, I'd be on my own, dude.
Now, of course, I don't know I don't think it happened. It happened a lot, but Skylanders was a different beast because...
Most
of the video game collectors were not Skylanders fans. Skylanders were more of a kid's thing. These Nintendo figures are iconic characters that people have grown up with. That video game fans, they don't make a lot of product for this type of toys. They're starting to, but they haven't really. And there's still not a lot out there for these iconic Nintendo characters. So, basically, you've got Mario, you've got Samus Aran, you've got Zelda. You know, you've got all these very classic characters, Link and Zelda and all this stuff, that they're starting to make these Amiibo figures of that Nintendo fans and video game collectors want to buy and put in their collections and use, and then suddenly they're discovering what people that have dealt with Skylanders have discovered a while back, is that, oh, scalpers are jack-offs, and they will buy everything they can if they think they can make a quick buck on it by turning it around. Which has, again, been something that we in the toy world has very much taken care of. Basically, what happened was the second, like all of these characters, including the second tier figures, which include Fire Emblem's classic character Marth, Animal Crossing's Villager, the Wii Fit Trainer, Diddy Kong, those figures were ignored in the first round of sales. You could find them on stores on shelves picked clean by Black Friday Rush, since they were lesser known characters, but Nintendo apparently decided not to manufacture them beyond the launch. So at some point, people did buy them, and once they were out of stock, they were gone. So while they're making these higher tier characters, these other tier characters were limited editions and are not going to be available again.
So basically, like any toy line ever.
Exactly. Scalpers have...
You people live in a different world,
they
man.
Do.
Welcome to the party.
Yeah, video game...
Yippee-ki-yay, mother snugglers.
Yep. Nintendo has said they have not discontinued any,
That means nothing.
Yeah, it means nothing. But, of course, there's new figures coming out in February that are pretty much, you know, the stock, the pre-orders for those are sold out. I mean, literally, just, I mean, everything for the, about the pre-orders for Wave 3 coming in February, like Rosalina, who's one of the classic characters exclusive to Target, the retailer launched pre-orders for the figure, and they were sold out in under an hour, which leaves GameStop's Shulk and Best Buy's Meta Knight to also Toys R Us's Mysterio for, yeah,
this is like, okay, I'm actually starting to feel sorry for these guys. Like, yeah. At first I was like, haha, welcome to our... I can't imagine. Well, I mean, it used to be that way, but not this bad. Especially not for something this hot. Like, yeah. Everybody's got their own figure. Ha ha, have fun.
Yep. This article goes on to say, for casual buyers of Amiibo, the launch has been terrible. Disney Infinity's making hot cash money. I don't know. Who would write that? Really?
What?
Hot cash money? Really? Okay. Disney Infinity.
You say that all the time.
No, I don't. Disney Infinity's making money partially because the figures...
You're like, hey, give me $5, hot cash money.
Partially because the figures are always available, so when someone wants to buy them, they can, basically, for the most part. Some of the harder figures, that you got to dig a little bit, but you go to a Toys R Us or Walmart, and you can find a ton of these Infinity characters.
Pretty much.
With Amiibo figure... Well, and then the money goes directly to Disney, so they buy it, you know, and then the money goes to Disney. With Amiibo figures... exorbitant prices means money that's not going into Nintendo's pocket. So if someone's paying $60 for a Wii Fit Trainer, that means they don't have money to pick up Mega Man or Captain Falcon. So it's kind of funny that, you know, I think Nintendo thinks that, you know, Nintendo's created, in essence, a new version of the original Wii, which was always sold out. And the fact that some of these characters are going to be always sold out and always sold out and always sold out. And you're not going to be able to... Anyone that's a completist of this line, as they want to get all these characters to use
again,
the game,
I mean, this
it's not going to happen.
This is... For a toy collector, I mean, there was a period of time in the 90s and the early aughts where I genuinely believe that some of these companies, particularly Hasbro... cared more about the quote buzz end quote
yes
than actually making sales. It was more important to have people talking about your product than to actually like get cash money in exchange for the product.
Right.
Problem is, what people were talking about was how much it sucked that they couldn't get their hands on the product.
Right. They couldn't find any of it.
Yeah. I mean, that was when like every convention had its own exclusive.
Yep.
And you know, all this, like, you know, they you would have to like... Mattel was really bad too, where you had to like get a lottery to get like...
Oh yeah, the early days, like the 2000X She-Ra. you had to basically, you could only get...
There was a Batman.
Yep, you could only get one ticket a day.
Yep.
And if your ticket wasn't called, you're out of luck because you can't get another one. You could only have one chance, and that was it. And that was a pain. I remember, you know, we went. That was during that year was my bachelor party. And that's where we went. That's where I wanted to go for my bachelor party. I didn't want strippers or any of that, or go out drinking. I wanted to go to a comic convention because that's what I wanted to do. So we all went there, and John Leonard, who has shown up on board.
I've never seen that man before in my life.
Yes, he was there as well as Scotty Cash, and they were smart enough to go around to everyone they could find in the convention and go, "Hey, are you interested in doing this Mattel thing? No, can you do me a favor? Will you go up and get your badge stamp, get a ticket, and give it to me? It'll take you 5 minutes." And people did, and they had a stack of tickets. So John and Scott won a ton of stuff that year because they had people. They were smart because they wanted something, and they knew they were only getting one chance. Well, why not better your odds and something like that in order to get the item you want to get to put in your collection? So now, yes, that goes back to, in the eyes of some people, that could be scalperish because they were basically begging people to go up to the counter so they could get tickets so they could get the merchandise. But...
Well, it depends on what you would do with it.
Right.
I mean, you know.
John won She-Ra for me. That was my wedding present.
See, there you go. That's not scalping.
That's not scalping at all. That was a very interesting time when you had to, like, lottery.
I know.
They did it again, not Mattel, but the lottery thing happened again at starting at Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con in, I want to say it was the last year we all went, that you and I went, which would have been 2008. When DC Collectibles started to do the Green Lantern figures.
Yeah, because when we went to the first C2E2, they did a lottery
for... Yes, that's where it started.
Yeah.
because you had to get a line, reach your hand into a bag, and if you pulled out a ball that had a dot on it, you got one. If you didn't, and you had to come back like every 3 hours and try again. Yeah, and they brought the damn the lottery back for that awful thing. Yeah. So yes, welcome video game collectors to our world. This is what we deal with every time we want to buy something that's hot or cool. You deal with this.
Well, this same is what type we dealt thing. With, and now we're in the aftermath. We're in the Mad Max days where everything's laid waste.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what you have to look forward to. Ah,
yep.
Just stick with your games.
Yep, stick with your games, guys. Let's answer some fan questions.
No.
Do it.
Wow.
Fan questions, Dave.
Dun, 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 dun. All right.
Yay.
Fan questions.
Hooray.
The first one comes from Seth Thomas. He says, where do you guys get shelving displays to display your collection? Or where do you guys get shelving to display your collection? Let me try to read that again. Ever use anything like the IKEA Bestas or the Detolfs?
What are you doing? You just got weird. I get my shelves from Menards.
I'm not familiar with the Bestas. I think I am, but I don't know if I
have,
am or not.
I have one Detolf, which I love.
Yeah.
What?
The Bestas are like these kind of stackable.
Oh, the QB things?
Yep. They're really nice.
Okay.
They got lots of nice little doors and everything. I've never bought Bestas. I have indeed bought Detolfs. I have two.
Yeah.
Dave has
one.
Partly
because we don't have an IKEA.
No, but they are building one in St. Louis. It should be open this year. So we will have one.
Well, at this point, man, I wouldn't have any place to put it.
Well, that's true. I wouldn't either, but...
Although, I don't know. I kind of would like a second Detolf, at least.
Yes.
Although, they're annoying and unforgiving.
They are...
Because it's like, these are the shelves, these are what you get.
Yes.
So, if your toy is this tall, you're hosed.
Yeah.
Or this wide, you're hosed.
Yeah, you're hosed.
Yeah. So they're really hosed. Sweet, but like they are a little fussier.
A little bit. I mean, I'm looking at the Bestas. There's some cool stuff you can do with the stacking and design elements of them, but I don't know if that'd be ideal for unless you just added glass doors, and the glass doors for these things are expensive. Very expensive.
Wow.
Yeah, some of these...
The Detolf's like all glass, and it was only like $60.
Yeah. I mean, it looks cool. But mostly, at least the shelves here at the Duvall household are just basic wood shelves that I buy at like Menards. They're like $2 a pop, and they're not finished. They're not sanded or anything. They're just wood shelves. I don't remember what the length of them are, but there's a certain size that I buy. And I buy brackets, and then I just come home and put up new shelves. And I use, in my walkthrough, I go to Bed Bath & Beyond and buy these little spice rack. Three-tiered spice racks.
People have asked about those, yeah.
These little three-tiered spice racks that I use that work really well. The long ones, they work really well for putting up figures like that because you can, you get to see everything instead of them being just a flat line of what is in there. You know, you can see, okay, this is what's here. So I use those, but other than that, I mean, the room down here has been cobbled together with store displays and hardware shelving and stuff like that that we've found at auctions that we've kind of hobbled together a decent little display down here. I mean, I think it's set up nice enough, and eventually the space where Dave and I film right behind us, usually when we film reviews or Puppet of All stuff, is an old large TV entertainment center, and eventually I want to do away with the entertainment center altogether and just put shelves across that wall because I would have more space.
Yeah, it would be more that's the word I'm looking for, efficient.
Yes, it would be more efficient than that. I mean, I've got some cool stuff on display on that, but I want to get shelves up there instead of that.
No, I hear you. Yeah. I get you.
So, Dave uses...
I use shelves on two walls, two of the long walls.
Yep.
That were kitted out like when I got the basement for shelving. And then the rest of it's just like these cheap bookcases, most of them bought from Target.
Yep.
I seem to be getting worse at putting them together. I don't know why. Either that or I'm just getting it from because the last couple, I got one from Walmart that was terrible.
Really?
And this last one I got from Meijer, which had issues. Like you tried to nail in the little thing in the back.
Yeah.
The back piece. And it was like it was splitting the nails were splitting the...
The actual backing?
Yeah. No, they were splitting the backing.
They were splitting the actual...
They were splitting the wood, the sides of the case.
Yay.
Like, really?
Press sawdust.
Yeah, it was bad. But, like, it was the perfect size, and it was, like, perfect in terms of the dimensions of the thing. But, like, it was not real well made. I don't know what I'm going to do.
It was not working
well. Because I kind of want another one, but I kind of don't.
Well, I was thinking that, too. I was like, I bought, just on Christmas, I bought the Voltron book. That's, like, that's the big, you know, the big, thick Voltron history of book. And I bought the Turtles, like, the definitive history.
Yeah. You were talking about that in the car.
And
then
today, I went to Barnes & Noble because I had the day off, and I went to Barnes & Noble. And they had the big Harry Potter from page to screen, which originally was like a $75 book, and it's huge. It's a massive tome. That's
amazing. It's very impressive.
But they had it clearance for like $24.95, and I'm like, yoink. And then I'm thinking, I'm like, if you look at my bookcases, if you were to go out and look at my bookcases right now, there are like books crammed on top of other books. Yeah. And I'm like, I got to do something. I'm like, I have no more bookcase space, and I've got shelves like falling on other shelves because there's too much weight, and... Like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my bookshelves. I got to figure something out there.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
So.
Part of the reason I'm building all these bookcases, I think I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, is because there's been a slow, it was originally a slow, and now it's become a rapid exodus of reading material from the basement as the toys
take over the shelves.
Well, because I had most of my comics in that bottom row of shelving, or the bottom row of bookshelves. Right. I didn't like that. I wasn't happy about that in any way, shape, or form. Right. So whatever bugs get down there, that's the closest to bugs.
Yeah.
If there is ever a flooding incident,
they're the first to go.
They would be the first to go. And that's that's my comic collection. I was super not happy about that whole setup.
Right.
So I was trying to get all that stuff up off the floor and away somewhere.
Good
so.
Call. Yeah, the more I think about it, the more I'd love to try. I'd love to hire someone or figure out how to do it myself, but take part of the wall down that the bookcases are in front of, because it's not even like... It's just, you know, the wall is there, and then it's this weird fake, it's not even like drywall, it's just some other material they use.
But all right.
Take part of the wall down so you can see into the laundry room, and then on top of the frame that's already there, build a bookcase that's recessed, that the back of it kind of goes into the laundry room a little bit.
I gotcha. I feel what you're saying.
And then somehow create another set in front of it that would go where the bookcases are now, that they would sit that way, and... find some kind of roller system that I could incorporate that you could just...
Oh, my God.
You could slide the bookcase. Like, you could slide, like, it'd be, like, three or four bookcases in the back and then three in the front. And, you know, there'd be three in the front and there'd be that one recessed and you could just, like, slide them.
Okay.
I kind of like to do that.
I kind of feel ya.
Yeah, but I don't think it's
going to happen. That's, on the one hand, it's kind of goofy. Well, where would they slide into, though?
They would just slide, like, to the left or right. So you'd always have access to one of the back bookcases.
Right.
So you'd have quick access to one of the back bookcases. Yeah. So I kind of would like to do that. I think it'd be cool, but I don't have the...
It would be kind of cool.
I don't have the expertise woodworking to do that.
Oh, yeah.
My neighbor, who's like 70, does, because he's a master carpenter. One of these days I'll ask him, I'll be like, this is what I want to do. Do you think it's possible? I'll give you...
You know what you should do is you should hit him up to build that Women's Day space station.
Yeah. Women's Day space station you want built so bad.
I pay for it.
I know. I don't know who... Like, he doesn't have all the tools you need. I was looking at that
what
again.
What tools do you need?
Have you seen what do you need to make that thing?
Saws.
Yeah. No, like a router saw, like a band saw, like all this stuff. I'm like, I don't have access to any of that stuff. Or I would have built you one Christmas a couple years ago.
I thought he was a master carpenter. He doesn't have a router saw?
He doesn't have all that stuff next to him.
What kind of man doesn't have a router saw?
He long story. Moving on. The Women's Day thing's not going to happen anytime soon.
I know. It's like the one... ironically, it's the one grail piece I can't get, not because I don't have the money for it, but because I just can't find someone with the skill for it.
You could hire a carpenter to do it, and it'll cost you some money.
Well, it might be where we go.
Maybe start calling carpenters and go, hey, I got a special project. This is what I want you to build, and see if they'll build it for you.
Might be how it go.
Bet you they will. It'll cost you a pretty penny.
We'll see.
That's the funny thing. That came out in the 70s, and I'm like... Who in the 70s had access to all this stuff that they could build that?
My dad was supposed to build it for me.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Hey, he's too busy wrecking the family business and being a drunk.
Yay! Yeah.
That's what he was supposed to.
Terry Main says, C2E2 announced Stan Lee is back. I've never gotten an autograph before, but this is what I'm seriously considering. What is your autograph experience? Is it worth the time? I'm sure it won't be cheap, but that's not a concern. It's Stan Lee. I'd like to hear from the group also their autograph experiences. Cheers, Terry. Dave and I don't think I've ever stood in line for an autograph like that.
I have.
Have you?
Not for Stan Lee, but I've been lucky. I've gotten two autographs, like, deliberately. Well, technically three. One doesn't count because I was actually at the What's on Joe Mine panel, and I had Jerry get Larry Hama's autograph.
Right.
On issue 50 of G.I. Joe, which is the one where Joe rolls into Springfield and...
Yes.
And F stuff up.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to curse. But my two autographs are, I got Anthony Daniels at Gen Con 1 year.
Yeah.
And the line wasn't that bad, except ironically the guy in front of me, right in front of me, had a Han Shot First t-shirt, and this was when that was a thing, a new
right,
thing.
Right, right.
And Anthony thought that was so amazing and great and hilarious, and so he went off to get his picture taken with this guy, and I'm standing there like, okay, hope you're coming back.
Yeah, come back.
He did, and I got to talk to him for a couple seconds. And then at the first C2E2, and I think because largely it was the first C2E2, they had a couple, the guy who played Darth Maul, I can't remember his name.
Ray Park.
Was it Ray Park?
Or,
maybe it was the guy that did the voice of Darth Maul. They had some of that, but they also had Peter Mayhew.
Oh, yeah.
And, so, there was literally no line. There was nobody there. So, I got my Peter Mayhew autograph, and then Cherry talked to his wife for, like, 20 minutes.
Yes.
Which led to this sort of awkward thing where I'm standing, you know, because I'm good with people.
Yeah.
And even
especially
worse...
Especially back then, you were even better with people.
I was even better with people. And you know, of course, this is, like, a guy who was, like, in just... my beloved child, and you know, Chewbacca is one of my, you know, everyone knows I love Boss, but Chewbacca is one of my favorite
right.
characters. And it's just like, so,
you're like, hey,
so I like, I, you know, I always describe it like that old Chris Farley Saturday Night Live routine where he's interviewing famous people. It's like,
yeah,
so
remember
I like
that,
stars.
Remember that time you were in the Beatles? That was awesome.
Remember that time you were gonna pull 3PO's arms off and you put your arms behind your head? That was great. It's like just it was the most awkward thing for me. It's like here's this guy who's my idol, not my idol, but a guy who's you know a major part of my childhood and a big deal, and I don't know what to say. And she's just gabbing away with his wife, and it's like, hi.
Hi.
I have stuffed toys of you in my basement.
I don't think I own any autographs. Actually,
you don't have any autographs.
When I was younger, I've got like Kirsten Dunst autograph because I mailed like you used to be able to write to like. Their age, whether or not she really signed it, but
yeah,
I have a Christina Ricci autograph that is a real signature because it's it like you know you could put your thumb against it and go whoop, but I don't really have. I was never an autograph guy. Like, I mean, I've got some WWE autographs from the first WrestleMania I went to at the Fan Fest. Like you, I had that was the year the first WrestleMania book came out, and I had gone around and got a lot of them to sign it, and it was free then. You could just walk up to the table and have them sign it. Now you got to pay, but.
Yeah, I remember when I first went to Wizard World, this is years ago, it's like 94, 95.
Yeah.
I was just out of college, and I went to Wizard World, and like, I remember David Prowse was there signing autographs, and he wanted money for it, and I was like, forget that noise, that's ridiculous, I'm not giving you money, you leech.
I don't seek out autographs anymore, I don't have any experience with
thing.
That, it's not my thing, honestly, I know we know a lot of people that do it and love it.
I was about to say
it
the
is
guy,
expensive.
The guy you need to talk to is Ben Harder,
yep.
or Superfan Ben, as
Superfan
we call him.
Ben.
He is the master of celebrity meetups and
yeah,
autographs.
He's
and
gotten a ton of them.
He is the man when it comes to meeting and getting you know celebrity autographs yeah. and pictures.
I've been blessed just in the years that I've been you know either reviewing toys editorial wise
or toilet order
reviewing toys. Whether writing for figures.com or doing it for pop culture or for us is the fact that I've got to either run in or meet a lot of these people like Ray Park, like, you know, walking through our hotel and he's in the bar and it's like, ooh, Darth Maul.
You got yelled at by Nichelle Nichols.
I'll get to that.
I didn't get yelled at by Nichelle Nichols.
Walk over and shook his hand, bought him a drink, hung out with him for a little while and just thanked him for his time. It's, thanks, man, appreciate it. You know, not acting like a big fanboy, just like, hey, you like your work, you know. See what's going on, how you enjoy the convention, this kind of stuff. Ran into Stan Lee in the hall that same night in the hotel as I'm walking towards the elevator. There's Stan Lee. And stopped and shook Stan Lee's hand. Get in the elevator. Across the elevator from me is Ron Perlman with his little dog. And he's got glasses because apparently he had been partying that night. And it was just one of these little, like, nod to him. And he nods back and the door's closed. It was just that great little moment. It's like, ha! That was kind of a neat little Comic-Con moment. The first year I went, with figures.com was the last year that Weta Digital, Lucasfilm, I don't remember who, maybe it was Sideshow or somebody, they threw this huge party, this huge VIP party on top of this building. Like, it was like a Hollywood party, basically. And somehow Figures.com would get tickets every year, and they had tickets for all of us. So we went to this party, you know, to hang out, and I'm standing in line to get a drink. And behind me is Bruce Campbell. Yeah. And the guy from Waterboy that, Waterboy is not like me, very southern. I don't know his name, but he's a character actor. Sure. And they're behind me talking about Mexican whiskey. And I'm like, this is really, really interesting. And then that night, I met Zachary Quinto back when, you know, right when he was getting huge.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, right when Heroes was on and he was getting ready to go do Star Trek. Big, you know. Got to meet him. I got a picture with him. I met Jimmy Fallon one year at Comic-Con. That was kind of neat. I've been blessed to meet a lot of these people, but never, like, asked for autographs. I'm just happy to meet them and go, hey, how's it going? Treat them like people. Hmm. That's why when we've passed by celebrities, you know, and I've talked to a few before with her with me, and she's like, how can you do that? I wouldn't be able to do that. Why? I'm like, they're just people. They just happen to have cool jobs, but they're just human beings.
Why no?
So.
Carrie. I have a hard enough time relating to just human beings.
Yes, that's true. They're there, Dave. They're there.
Well, whatever.
No, but I would, if you want to go do it and meet Stan Lee, I would say do it. It's not going to be cheap. It's probably going to be $50-$60 to get the little ticket to get a picture and a
yeah, autograph. but in a few years that'll go up because
yeah, Stan's
that
probably
guy,
not
that guy. You know,
Stan can't be long for this earth. He's getting up there.
Yeah, I'm sure he got a little extra boost there when he stole all of Jack Kirby's organs.
He did just buy a $4 million home in L.A.
Well, that's a little...
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he can afford it, but okay. That's a little sort of optimistic.
Yeah, doing all right. Good old Stan.
I think I would rent at 90.
Kevin J. Hayes says, Dave, it was nice seeing you at the Toy Man show this past Sunday.
Kevin is Mason's dad.
Oh, yep. I did not run into Kevin or Mason.
No, you were that was when you were kind of ensconced in Dealer Dan's corner.
Yeah. Kevin asked Dave, "Is there anything new coming out in the G.I. Joe line?" Well, no, not that we know of. No.
Well, there's been a lot of excitement because there's a I can't remember his name.
There's a new brand manager.
There's a new brand manager, and he's talking as much as he can about stuff without confirming or promising or... So we don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, he's talking about how he'd like to do all this stuff. So we'll see what actually happens. He's not going to be at... they're not going to have Joe stuff at Toy Fair. Hasbro is supposed to be at Toy Man here in Springfield.
Not at JoeCon.
JoeCon.
Yeah, there you go.
Hasbro
is going to be at JoeCon.
That's what they're saying.
So
hopefully if there's anything to show off, they'll show it off there.
Yes.
I'm not super... my thing is, if you're Hasbro, why would you have any Joe... I mean, this is going to sound cold, but why would you have any G.I. Joe product? There's no movie. As far as we know, there's no TV show.
Right.
I mean, you know, all that could change. Who knows? But, like, just rehashing the 80s stuff again... For the collector market, that's not how they roll these days.
No.
So, unless it's like, I really could see them pulling a thing where they do a 2-inch line with vehicles.
Right.
Because that seems to be their shtick.
Yeah.
So I could see them announcing that, but we'll see what they do. Or then there's always this stupid 6-inch black line that people keep obsessing over, which, you know, again, may or may not happen. Who knows? I could see them doing something like that, like a Snake Eyes for Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And seeing what the response is.
Yep.
But yeah, we don't know anything at this point, literally.
We will soon, though, maybe. Possibly.
No.
In April.
April, yeah.
Maybe.
That's a million years away.
Alex Pasquale says, if technology and money was no object, what fully realized and functioning vehicle would you want from any piece of media, be it comics, TV, movies, or toys, etc.?
I actually... As stupid as it sounds, I actually wrestled with this. Like, I had two contenders.
Right.
I had two top two contenders, and I went back and forth, because there were two that I really liked. One was the Millennium Falcon, or a Corellian YT-1300.
Okay.
And then the other was the DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Yes.
Back to the Future 2, because it had to fly.
Yes.
And in the end, I decided to split the difference and go with the TARDIS.
Oh, there you go.
Because I like the Falcon that you can live in it. It's like a house.
Right.
That flies around. And then I like the time machine thing so I can go hang out with dinosaurs.
Good call.
So I split the difference. I would say the TARDIS.
Good call.
I'm not sure if that's me or you buzzing.
I don't know what I'd do. Maybe be... Hold on, I don't have a good answer for that.
I thought you would say the TARDIS, actually.
I think I'd want the ghost buggy. Because one, it talks. Two, it can fly and go undersea and all kinds of stuff. And it goes in time. So technically it's a time machine, and I can go hang out with dinosaurs. But then I have a companion that is witty and snappy and scared. Basically, it's you as a car that can travel through time and fly and go underseas.
Wow.
Yeah.
I sound cool.
You're pretty cool, Dave.
Wow.
Robert Hardefield says, what are your interests in the 2015 toy lines, and are there items that catch your attention or just the opposite? We'll revisit that question again after February.
Yeah, Robert, you're a little early on that one, I think.
Once Toy Fair happens in February and we start seeing pictures, we'll discuss.
I mean, you know, obviously, let me put it this way. The toy lines I'm looking forward to seeing from Toy Fair, well, first of all, the first one isn't going to be there, which is Star Wars Force Awakens.
Right.
Wow.
Star
Wars 7. The dinosaurs from Jurassic World I'd like to see, and I'm curious what Marvel does.
Yes.
With both Avengers and with their generic lines. I'll probably buy a lot of the Legends figures.
Yes, because they are showing off a lot of Legends. They're
showing off a lot of Legends figures, and a lot of them are really cool, and some of them have cool Build-A-Figures. So
yep.
It's like the Spider-Man, ironically again, the Spider-Man wave, I don't want the Build-A-Figure, but I want almost every figure in the waves, and then like everything else, I don't want the figures, but I want the Build-A-Figure.
Like the
I want the Odin.
The Odin or King Thor, depending on who you decide to do.
I'm going to do Odin.
Yeah.
I kind of Thor. Thor's kind of
That's true.
Poop on Thor.
That's true. Shane Willen says, I know Dave's a big fan of the 1/18th scale Star Trek figures, so am I. What does he think of the figures and playsets from the reboot Star Trek movie? It's been a few years, but I found a lot of the playsets dirt cheap on the secondary market.
By a lot, you mean both of them?
Yeah, let's just say they make a whole lot.
I mean, the transporter one's kind of neat. The bridge one obviously shows you why you never do a build-a-thing over
multiple two waves.
Yeah. Because the
second wave may not happen.
May not happen, and then you get screwed over. The bridge playset, I mean, I have it, because I got it on clearance.
Right.
I mean, there's like the main pedestal with the captain's chair and the navigation and helmsman. But it's not even a playset. It's just like a mat that you put chairs on.
Yeah,
it's really a ripoff. The Playmates Star Trek line
was Playmates not at their best.
No, it was not a great line. It was better than the Terminator line, but it was not a great line. I have a few figures, and you know my greatest one of my biggest heartbreaks from about 2 years ago is when Hasbro had the license and didn't do 4-inch figures.
They just did Creos.
Yep. I would have loved for a Hasbro 4-inch Star Trek line.
Yep.
I would have taken a new movie. I would have gone out of...
You know why they didn't do it? Because no store was going to buy them because of the
Playmates.
Last one.
Yep. Yeah, I know.
Because Playmates ruined the market for them.
Well, you know what? Your job is to sell this stuff to stores.
True. But even that they couldn't sell because everyone remembered the Playmates debacle. And those two lines for Playmates almost put them out of business. They didn't do anything. Like, they remember, they did Star Trek and they did Terminator, and then they were going to do the 25th anniversary of Turtles?
Yeah, something like that.
And that never happened because Playmates did so poorly and lost so much money that they almost went out of business because of that. And then once Nickelodeon brought the Turtles back, they started doing Turtles figures again, and suddenly Playmates is back in the game. But yeah, boy, they came close to being shuttered.
Yeah.
Wow, did they?
Just saying. In my dream. Well, I mean, Funko can do apparently Star Trek, so you know.
Yeah, maybe they'll
apparently.
Do
Star Trek. Yeah. Well, hopefully that'll be part of the second wave of slightly better figures.
Yes.
I don't mind that they're 5 points of articulation. Just make the sculpts better.
Yeah, just make the sculpts better. Our good friend Adas Barone.
What? Says,
yeah, I know, right?
You mean the guy who's blowing us off for C2E2?
Oh,
he and John can hang out and have their own little blow us off for C2E2
club. That's not nice. Poor Doss.
Doss. We love you, Doss.
We do.
You know that.
Doss says, if you can hang out with any character from a toy property, of course this would exclude things that existed first in film, such
you know
as
why
Star
he did
Wars.
That. You know why he did
Who
that.
Who would it be and why?
You know why he did that.
So you could say Baroness?
So I wouldn't say Bosk.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
That's why he did that.
That's true. I would hang out with the Centurions. How cool would that be? I'd want to wear one of their suits and fly around with their armor.
Well, would they let you wear one of their suits?
Eh, does it matter? I'd still
kinda
do it. Kind of. Be like, yahoo! and then wreck millions of dollars in equipment.
You would.
Yeah. That's what I do.
Well, I don't know. Like, the problem is, like, most of the, like, the cool characters wouldn't want to hang out with me.
Eh.
You know, I mean, the Decepticons would all want to kill me.
Yeah, that's true.
The
Autobots would think you're silly.
Yeah, the Autobots wouldn't have... And, you know, and like, G.I. Joe, most of G.I. Joes wouldn't really have time for me, because they're military guys. And
true.
They're busy working out and busy fighting working for freedom.
Wherever there's trouble.
You know, so... I really don't know.
Sorry, Dave. That question threw you a curveball.
It did. I think I had an answer earlier, but I've forgotten it now.
What?
I don't know.
Oh, curses.
Also, you know, most of my toys are from other things.
That's
so.
True. Sorry, Doss. Dave has no answer for you.
No answer for you, Doss.
Joseph Chitwood says, have you ever went to a show or convention, saw something you wanted, and said, nah, I don't need that, maybe next time, and then went back for it to notice it was gone?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Plenty of times.
Plenty of times.
A couple of King Counties ago, there was a booth that had a Dragon's Lair lunchbox for like $10 with the thermos.
Oh, you
And I
should have
bought it. And I'm like, you know what? It's the first couple tables we've been to. I'm going to keep going.
Oh. But when it's me, you can't get me to spend all my money early enough, fast enough.
I was living vicariously through you. Or else I would have bought all the Robin Hood stuff that day. I'd have been like, Robin Hood! Yeah, there's been numerous occasions where we've been like, we'll pad, we'll come back for it, and then you come back and it's like, oh, it's gone.
It's gone.
Boo his boo. So, do you have anything in mind that...
I don't have anything specific, but I mean, I've done it enough times.
Yeah. It's happened many, many times. It happens every show. It doesn't matter how smart we think we're going to be that show. It happens every show where we're like, I don't know, the price is a little high, I'm going to keep looking, and then you're like, you know what, I decided I want to go get that, and you go back and it's like, oh, it's gone.
Yeah.
Or Pixel Dan has bought it. Which has happened. Yeah.
That happens more with you than me, but
yes, it does. Like, ooh, Demolition Man figures. I'll get him in a second. Oh, Danny, dang you, Danny, I hate you. Grabbing my Demolition Man figures. I was very sad.
You both should have all those by now.
No, not at all. Wow. They're really hard to find, surprisingly, which is really strange.
Huh.
And then last but not least, Joshua J. Flood.
No, he's least.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I love you, Josh.
Says, hey guys, are there any vintage toy lines that you collect now as an adult that you would not have liked when you were a kid, assuming you did not own any as a kid? Are there any that you liked as a kid that you don't own now or wouldn't collect?
No, because how I collect is sort of predicated on me as a kid.
Right.
And most of the stuff that I try to collect is either like stuff that I did have as a kid. That's a big thing, is to get the stuff I had as a kid.
Right.
Or stuff that I would have, like, modern stuff I would have loved as a kid.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, the only noteworthy toy line, I mean, there's some stuff that I have, there's some Hasbro stuff, or some Kenner stuff that I have just because it's Kenner.
Right.
But, like, I think the closest would be Superpowers, maybe, because I really wasn't that into it as a kid. I mean, I liked Batman and all, but I was not into the Superpowers line. But even that's like, you know, so no, I mean, mostly I collect stuff that I liked as a kid. That's sort of the whole point.
Mine is kind of the opposite now. The stuff I had as a kid, like, I still have some of it, but like, I had a lot of Masters of the Universe, I had a lot of G.I. Joe. I don't collect G.I. Joe at all.
Yeah, it used to be cool.
I don't really collect Masters that much unless I find something kind of neat that I want for a decent price. But a lot of the lines I collect is stuff that I probably wouldn't have owned as a kid, like Last Action Hero, or even Vision, like Supernaturals. I did not like that as a kid. I thought it was really dumb looking. Same with Visionaries. Like, everybody loved Holograms, but I did not like those figures at all. But of course, as I've gotten older, I've garnered an appreciation for these lines that are lesser known or that nobody really cares about. Stuff like Last Action Hero, or Bill and Ted's, or there's a certain art that I see in those toy lines that I see that there was a lot of love, you know, given to the sculpts and the idea behind them and the work that went into them. And I get a lot of, I just really appreciate those lines a lot more now than I did.
You know, I would say, thinking about it, Masters would be the one toy line that I collect, sort of collect now that I just didn't touch as a kid.
Because you didn't get it.
Because I didn't get it. Because it didn't fit in with the stuff I was playing with.
Right, right.
And now, because I don't really play with my toys, you know, I can kind of appreciate it for what it is.
What it is. Right.
And Classics is such an amazing line that I think that really kind of turned me around.
Right.
On Masters in general.
Yeah.
So Masters is probably the one toy line that I really didn't, I wasn't into as a kid, and I have way more stuff than I would have thought I had.
Yeah.
Would have.
And there's stuff out now, like, there's stuff out that, even when I was a teenager in the 90s, that I would not have bought as a collector, that I'm starting to buy now, like Titan AE. Like, I found a couple of figures of those, and I really like the look and design of that stuff. And even though it's simplistic...
Yeah, well, I have a bunch of those, but they're all in a bin somewhere. Cause, yeah. You know, because I got them at the time, because they were cheap, and I'm like, well, maybe I'll use that stupid little vehicle for something someday.
Yeah, yeah. So, that... I'm trying to think of what else, like... There's other items that I own in my collection now that I can't think of.
That's another rare one that you have that I'm slightly envious of, is the ship from Titan AE.
Oh, yeah. Not the enemy one, the one with the girl.
Yeah. I remember you got that at King County, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, for like $5. Again.
I kind of would have liked to have gotten that.
Yeah. So there's...
It's rare that that happens, but it does
happen. It is. It's rare that it happens, especially with me pertaining to you. It does not happen very often, but when it does happen, it's pretty big stuff. Like, it's... Well, it's you're going,
yeah,
oh.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wow.
So, it happens more me with you, when I wouldn't even say half the time that I'm jealous or envious. I love going to your house when we hang out and us going downstairs and talking as we're perusing the collection, because I love to look at it. Because to me, I'm never really jealous of anyone's collections per se. I'm not really...
Well, yeah, it's not that I'm jealous of you per se. No. But it's like, you got something that I would like to have.
Right.
It's not that I want yours.
Right. You know? Just want
to
have that item.
I would like to have that item. Which I kind of regret that you found it before I did, because I would like to get that.
Which always seems to make you go monkey see, monkey do, usually.
Dan's worse about that. Like, with you, it's stuff that I would have wanted before I found out that you had it.
Right.
Brawl's a little closer.
Wow, that sounded really awful.
Did it?
That I would have wanted to have before I found out that you had it.
Well, you know what I mean. Dan gets something, and I'm like, I didn't know it existed, or never really looked at it before.
Yeah, you're like, that's
kind of
neat.
That's so cool. Because Dan and I think, have more similar taste. Aside from the big Joe Masters divide,
yes.
I think everything else, we tend to have very similar taste.
Yeah.
With you, it's like, you know, like, I've always kind of wanted that Titan AE ship, and then you found one.
Right.
Hive Wars is just, you know, I know it's a rare alien subline.
Yeah.
And even though it's crap, it's a rare alien subline, and I would like to have that.
Right.
Brawl was probably the closest to a Danny, quote-unquote, type find for you. But even then, I had really thought about buying it at the time.
Right.
So, like, that's, you find stuff, and I'm like, oh, I would have, you know. But because it's a weird sort of, like, just... in the corner of my mind kind of thing. Like, I don't even think about it until it pops up.
Right,
like,
yeah.
You know, it's not like, I go, hey, Jason, if you ever see a Titan AE ship,
yeah,
you
grab
it. Keep your eye out of that for me, because I'm really looking for that. You know, it was more like, oh, I would like to have had that.
I want that.
It's always the next time around.
Yeah,
that's
always
the thing.
Next time around.
I feel like any more Hive Wars, though. Like, that one I almost smacked you on. Like, really? You
Sorry.
Know I collect aliens.
Sorry. Well, I've been buying the human figures because I like the humans. So.
Ugh, they're terrible.
I know, they are, but I like them.
Such garbage.
Again, I like them because no one else likes them.
Ugh. I got them basically so that it would be like, look, this is what happens when things go horribly
Which
wrong.
Was kind of cool. One thing we didn't get to talk about was Pixel Dan's Christmas presents to you and I. Like, he gave you this really cool T-Rex statue that has an articulated jaw that's really neat. And then he bought three Barnyard Commandos figures for me from Playmates, which are without a doubt one of the most horrible toy lines that's ever been designed or created.
Yeah, it's pretty
crummy. They're squeezable sheep and pigs with little weapon racks that fit on them. These, we opened one. Dave and I opened one last week.
It's basically Dino Riders with, like, it's like a Play School Dino Riders.
These things have been in packages for 25, 28 years, and we took one out because Dave had never held one in his hand or seen what they were, and the minute we opened it, we were like, oh!
Yeah, that was a smell.
Because it smelled horrible.
That was a stink.
But he bought me these great, awful Barnyard Commando figures. He goes, I saw them. He goes, I knew that if anyone would appreciate them, it would be you. And I'm like, these are amazing! Like, they're so awful, they're great! Like, I love them. So I've got to finish opening. I only opened that one last week and haven't had time to come downstairs and, like, move things around, because I got to do another massive move to fit things in now. But
change the filter and the gas mask.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But that was kind of cool. That was a great little Christmas present for me.
Yeah, it was. It was very cool. And I felt bad because I kept getting distracted by things. I kept meaning to send him a text saying,
Sunday.
Thank you.
And Sunday, on the way, I was like, hey, did you...
Well, no, because what happened was Sunday, Dan had asked me for me to look for these Terminator figures for him, the NECA Terminator figures.
Right.
The Terminator versus RoboCop. And a dealer there had the one that I thought he needed, because I didn't know he got it. And it was actually less than you would get for Toys R Us.
Right.
And so I sent him a text saying, you need this? And he said, no, I got that already, thanks. And you're like, oh, did you thank him for your Christmas present? I was like, ah!
But that before that, siege. On the way there, we were talking about Dan, because Dan thought he was going to go with us, and it didn't end up going. But I was like, did you, because I had been reminded you last week, I'm like, make sure you text Dan or call him and tell him thank you. I'm like, did you text or call Dan and tell him thank you? And you're like, no, I'll do it on the way home. And then later that day, I'm like, remind me to never buy anything for Dan because he has it all. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, I text him to see if you, I'm like, did you tell him thank you for a Christmas present? Gah! Like, you texted him about a toy he needed, but then forgot to thank you.
I was sort of thinking of other people.
Oh, David.
Well, I took a picture of it, and when I got it set up, and I put it out on the Facebook group for everyone to see.
Yes.
Made my thanks very public.
Yes.
And I acknowledged that I was tardy in the thanks.
Yes. Very true. There you go, guys. That's going to wrap it up for this week's David Naval's Toys and Collectibles. We'll be back. Wrap it up. We'll be back next week with an all-new show right here on ToyWorldOrder.com and on iTunes and Stitcher. You can go to iTunes or Stitcher. You can look up Toy World Order and find both this show and Married to the Collection. Make sure you check us out on YouTube. Go to YouTube.com/ToyWorldOrder. Hit subscribe and like all of our videos. Mash that button, as Papa Ball likes to say. Mash it.
Apparently that's what the YouTubers say.
That's what the YouTubers say. Also check out YouTube.com/BoardTheShow. Like all the videos there. Subscribe and mash the button. Mash. But until then, gang, we'll be back next week. So until then, David.
Je suis Charlie.